let's get growing. Welcome to the Home Show Garden Pros. It's time for gardening and landscape tips and advice from Houston's leading garden and landscape experts, members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op, and your host, Danny Milliken.
Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. Talking gardening, answering gardening questions, helping you out there be a better gardener. So, 281-496-5711. Joey Linderman in here with me now.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to be here.
All right, great. So we're just going to I got some stuff I want to talk about with Joey. Joey, if you don't know, Enchanted Gardens out there just kind of west of Cinco Ranch, they grow most of their own plants. And so not citrus, not a few other things because that's not legal anymore. And so, but they grow a ton of their own plants. And so it's like we're talking to a guy who knows plants in and out. From seed starting, from propagation, from cuttings, all that stuff. So if that's something that you're like are interested in getting into, this is a great person to talk to about that. So also, you know, does a great job kind of serving the community. I know that anytime in the last year that I've talked about milkweed and that stuff, I think of you and the project that you're so involved with about milkweed. So we actually wanted to get into that a little bit kind of right now. So tell us about I forgot the name of it, but I know you're doing it.
Hashtag milkweed movement.
So, hashtag milkweed movement. So, what is it?
We've started the deal where we grow a lot of the native milkweeds that you're not able to get at
right
anywhere. Basically, you know, they're kind of hard to germinate, and with the help of one of our employees, Ashley, we've figured out how to, you know, successfully grow
awesome.
Lots of those native milkweeds, and you know. I wanted to do something good out of it. So I thought that we should, you know, donate these special things to a needy cause. And we decided to do that with to some different autism nonprofits
that's
in
awesome.
The area. So we donate all the sales of our milkweed to three nonprofits in the area. And I'm trying to get this to spread to other garden centers
right.
across the South, anywhere, you know, or everywhere, basically anywhere milkweed sold. That's kind of my goal. And those nurseries can donate their milkweed sales or profits or part of it even to some of their local nonprofits, you know, supporting families living with autism.
Sure. That's wonderful. And, you know, I mean, it's so multifold because, you know, just – milkweed is this great plant to get kind of this instant impact of seeing these caterpillars, seeing the butterflies active. And,
right.
you know, anything that gets people more into gardening is really good for them. So it impacts the buyers of the milkweed positively. You know, it does raise awareness of kind of the migration of the butterfly. And it's supporting, like, an incredible cause that millions of Americans are just struggling with.
Yeah.
So
yeah. The reason I, you know, did that is because that's not a glamorous thing that people go out and donate to.
Sure.
They don't have all these awesome fundraisers like some of the nonprofits do
right.
where everybody's going in suits and ties. It's a struggle, you know? I mean, it's a struggle for those families.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, I think it's such a great, easy way to make an impact, a positive impact on multiple facets.
Yep.
So there are so many too native milkweeds. And, you know, they're really kind of cool because, you know, you get a lot of people telling you, cut back your milkweed. Well, only the tropical milkweed
right.
grows through the winter.
Yeah.
So the native ones actually go dormant.
They naturally go dormant and do their thing like they're supposed to.
And I pulled one out of a pot one time and kind of was looking at it, I think swamp milkweed, and it had like a little
tuber.
Potato, little tuber in there. And I guess it stores, so the tuber just lives in the ground and sprouts up every year.
Yep, they do their thing.
So once you get those established, you got them.
Yep, that's right.
Good news. Well, that's awesome stuff. Some things we're exploring, Joey and I today. Going to talk about annual color. We don't really talk about that much on the show, but man, there's so many great options right now. This is a great time to do it. A lot of this warm weather kind of signals the end of winter. You may still have your alyssum or something like that, like me, in the ground. And every day at 3, it's flat. And then every evening, it perks back up and it looks nice. But I'm like, okay, maybe it's time to
It's getting kind of toward
transition.
The end of the it's getting toward the end of the road for, you know, snapdragons, petunias, alyssum, things like that. So you need to start planning on what you're going to put there next, because if you wait too long, then, you know, some of the things aren't going to be available.
Right.
A, B, you know, it's going to be a little bit more of an issue to get those things established before the heat of the summer comes along.
Yeah, you want to get them established. You can get out there and do some pruning, do some work around them, but you really want them established here, probably in the month of May.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to explore some great varieties and also, you know, how to maximize your flower production. So I'm going to kind of like really try to get cut flower tips too during that time, because it's something I think a lot of people don't do enough of. It's cut flowers. So
yep.
So this is Home Show Garden Pros. Joey Linderman here with me now. We want to hear what's in your mind also, so we'll kind of mix your questions in as we go along. 281-496-5711. And yeah, Home Show Garden Pros.
Create your own healing center at home. Let Mother Nature boost your immune system and take away your stress. Love her back with MicroLife, Mother Nature's favorite food. At MicroLife, we believe healthy soils, healthy plants, and healthy people are all connected. That's why our fertilizers deliver the highest nutritional value possible and do no harm. Add MicroLife fertilizers and you'll grow healthier lawns, beautiful flowers, and more nutritious vegetables naturally. MicroLife fertilizers. Available at all leading garden centers. MicroLifeFertilizer.com.
You're listening to the Home Show Garden Pros. Gardening help you want. Answers you can trust from members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op.
This is Diane Bulanowski from Warren Southern Gardens, located in beautiful Kingwood, the livable forest.
Hi, it's Anita Nelson from Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens in Katy.
Zach Buchanan from Buchanan's Native Plants in the Heights.
Connect with Home Show Garden Pros co-op members anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com or call now, 281-496-5711.
That's right. The nice man said it, 281-496-5711. We're Home Show Garden Pros. You're out there gardening, first time, you're a first-time gardener, or you're a seasoned veteran. If you're like me, you're having some, you know, you're having some pest problems, problems like that, and you're looking for solutions. Well, we're not on the radio all the time. So you, one thing that I would encourage you to do is go to Monterey Lawn and Garden, and they have a ton of solutions. This is really, since I learned about this company, I'm like always learning new things they've got. So my wife was like, hey, what's wrong with the roses? And so I went out and checked the roses, and for the first time ever, they had, I really don't do anything to my roses. I don't water them. I don't like care for them. I just keep them mulched. But they had thrips and spider mites on them, both thrips and spider mites. So I was like, oh. And I looked at my little Monterey Lawn and Garden section. I have four items there. And sure enough, I had the mite control. So mite and pest prevention. It's an organic thing. It's mostly oils. And it really is, you know, it's safe and wonderful. But I, you know, a week ago, sprayed it all over my roses and made it sure I got the underside of the leaves. And man, I'm not seeing any. I'm seeing new growth without thrips on it, new buds without thrips on it, no spider mites. Pretty awesome that it worked so well. And so I'm like on this like, wow, another solution from Monterey Lawn and Garden. That's so awesome. So they've got a lot of different options. I mean, we've talked about honeybee attractant for people who are having trouble with pollinators, getting pollinators in. You can actually hang a little tag that'll bring honeybees in. We've talked about BT. We've talked about nematode control. My friend with the tomato problem, his tomatoes are doing a lot better. Just to check in there. And we always talk about Sluggo because, man, there's Sluggo and there's Sluggo Plus. You got the creepy crawlies coming in there. Could be centipedes. Could be snails. I lost a pepper plant to some snails. So hashtag sad face.
That's terrible news.
Yeah, terrible news. But Sluggo solved the problem. I didn't lose any other pepper plants to them, even if the pepper plants showed a little damage, because Sluggo protect my plants and my garden from snail damage. It is organic. It's easy to use. It stays effective for a while, even if there's a rain. You can use it kind of about around your veggies. And if you can use something around your veggies, you can use it around anything else. So apply it in the evening. That's the big tip here. Snails and slugs are active overnight. So it's safe. You can up to harvest. So look for Monterey Lawn and Garden stuff, including Sluggo, Sluggo Plus, at your Garden Pro nurseries, or check out their website, which is MontereyLawnandGarden.com. So really good stuff. I'm just pleased that they have so many solutions.
That they do.
Yeah. Speaking of solutions, Joey Linderman here. We're going to get into this. So, you know, veggie gardening's been huge, right?
Yes.
A lot of people veggie garden.
Lots of new gardeners. Everybody's got spare time on their hands, and it's really exciting to see all these new people coming out for their first time growing a vegetable garden.
And one thing you learn, a lot of work on the install, a lot of work on a bed clean out, turnover, replanting. But once you got the plants in there and you've mulched it, if you're like me, I just mulch it with leaves from my neighbors. But if you've mulched it with pine straw or leaves from your neighbors or whatever, you find out that's kind of like, okay, I've got 10 minutes a day now of labor needed for the garden. So maybe it's time to transition. You know what I mean? And so to me, annual color is like this very easy and beautiful transition where you can make a huge impact in your space. So if you're thinking about widening some beds in your front, or maybe you want some color in your back where you're spending all your time, you just want some gorgeous beauty back there. Or if you're like me, it's time to do a change out. What are kind of what we should be looking for now, and maybe like stuff that will last at least through summer?
Lots of good things out. You know, pretty much everything at the nurseries right now will go through the summer and into the fall until it starts to cool off.
Nice.
But, you know, pentas are one of my favorites. There's several varieties that get different heights depending on the need, anywhere from, say, 8 to 10 inches on up to 20 inches.
And that's so great depending on where you're kind of tucking them, because you may be tucking them like behind some small hedge or planting you've already got. That's
right.
Awesome.
Yep.
And pentas, they are great for pollinators.
They are, yeah. Butterflies love them. Hummingbirds will be all over them. They, you know, red, pink, violet, white mix, lavender, nonstop bloomers all summer.
That's awesome. And tough. I mean, they're tough.
Yes.
All right. Cool. Penta's got it written down.
That's good news.
What's another? I mean, so I when I work kind of in a landscape for a landscape supply company, help consulting, everybody asked about vincas.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not really that impressed with vincas. Mostly because I'm so into like food and pollinators that I was like, well, they're not doing anything with the pollinators. But they're so colorful.
Yeah, they're nice and bright, big blooms. And there's new varieties nowadays that are more resistant to the fungus that they used to get.
That was the other thing. I was like, yeah,
there's new varieties now. You know, we trialed some last year and actually left them sitting in a tray of water for 2 weeks and it didn't faze them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing with people overwatering too much, which is so common. The vincas were getting overwatered and like dying so much, and people come in, hey, your vincas died, and it's like, well, it's your fault, you know. So that was and they love the heat.
That they do,
and they're very, very showy. So what's another pentas, vincas?
Coleus are great. There's lots of different types of sun-loving coleus nowadays, and you don't have to wait on those to bloom. Their foliage is always colorful.
That's awesome. But also shade-loving coleus. Right?
And shade-loving coleus. Don't forget about those.
Yeah. That is a thing. You know, if you're thinking about your backyard space and putting some beauty in there, you might want a little half-shade bed, you know, by where you want to sit in the shade. So that's great. Coleus, I always forget about coleus and whatever the other flowering one,
Caladiums?
Caladiums, yeah.
Yes.
I always forget about those, too. Just, you know, but coleus, man, what interesting leaves.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many cool varieties. It's like somebody painted them almost.
What about like a ground covery, kind of ground covery low?
So there's the Cascade vinca that we talked about. Yeah, the Cascade variety only gets maybe 4 or 5 inches tall.
Oh, wow.
And they'll spread out good. And if you have them in a hanging basket or a pot, they'll trail over. There's different types of verbena.
Okay, yeah.
Lots of colors of verbena. Blue Days is a good one.
Blue Days is a good one.
Light blue flowers, good ground cover.
That one even sometimes can survive all the way through winter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a tweener on the annual front. That's awesome.
Yep. One of my favorites is purslane.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's an old-fashioned plant, but super heat tolerant, nice, bright, big blooms.
Yeah, like decadent blooms. Because it's kind of a...
I don't know what that word means, but I'm going to agree with you.
It's like you have deca is like 10 and then dense, so 10 dense. You know, like someone smashed it 10 times.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I'll use that.
Purslane is like succulent-y.
Yeah, they're almost like a succulent.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome. Okay, well, so we got a good little guest list here. I'm going to put it on Facebook so people can think about it. So what about maximizing kind of color, maximizing pop, length, health, all that stuff?
Right. So you know, using a good fertilizer, some sort of super bloom type deal, whether it's a liquid or a granule.
Sure.
Color Star is good. Some of the MicroLife products are made for blooming plants. Those are both good. Mixing some compost into your bed before you plant your color is always a good choice.
Mm.
Don't overwater. Everybody's got spare time right now. Don't. Just because you're bored, don't go outside and water. Only water right. When it needs it.
Yeah.
Because overwatering is way worse than underwatering.
And if you feel like you want to water every day, then give yourself a little like map or grid where you're watering. You're like your sprinkler system. You're only watering zone A today.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
This is the season to just on that thing. Man, you're maybe going to see some plants wilting, like looking a little wilty. And that is them hardening off to the heat. Do not panic. If you have healthy looking plants and they're showing a little bit of wilt, especially if they like flash back in the evening, you need to leave those alone so they can make sturdier roots.
Right. They're sending their roots out when they're doing that to try to find more water, and it makes them hardier in the long run.
Yeah, which makes better, bigger produce in the long run too. So you got to like really stop
hold yourself back. Yeah, exactly.
At 1 o'clock or 2:30 when it's blazing hot and your squash is a little wilty, that's okay. That's all right.
Is it still all right at 245?
I'd start to panic then.
Okay.
Yeah. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Native plants. Hardy. Suited to our climate. Find them in the Heights at Buchanan's Native Plants. Devoted to Texas native plants and organic gardening for over 30 years. Perennials, annuals, herbs, vegetables, trees, shrubs, and roses, they're all waiting at Buchanan's, along with houseplants, succulents, and cacti. Plus, Buchanan's bungalow features one-of-a-kind gifts and home decor. Find your way to Buchanan's, 611 11th Street, online at buchanansplants.com.
Do you own rental property or does it own you? Hi, I'm Bruce Lessie with Houston for Lease, giving you more lease with less stress. We find and screen quality tenants, manage your property, including midnight maintenance calls, all for one affordable fee. No add-ons, no surprise fees. That's more lease with less stress. Learn more at Houston4lease.com. Call me on my cell, 832-654-5670. And get your first month's fee free. Houston4lease.com.
Now back to answering your gardening questions with the Home Show Garden Pros.
Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. We are here talking gardening. It's a festive time, a great time to be out in the garden. No matter what's happening out there, it is spring. The great opportunity to talk to John Ferguson. John is the man up at Nature's Way Resources and knows a ton about a ton of stuff. How are you, John?
I'm doing great, sir. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. So I want to talk veggies a little bit. Is that cool?
Sure. Love them.
So my understanding is that the more minerals we can add to our veggie soil, the better tasting our veggies will actually become. Is that true?
That is correct. They're the biggest topic in soil science right now is what we're starting to call nutrient density. And we're learning that many of these hybrid plants, they don't have the health products, the phytochemicals and things they used to, and it's due to a lack of trace elements in the soil. If they're not in the soil, they can't get into the plant.
Right. So we are adding a lot of stuff that maybe is even changing and making it worse. How can we make it better?
Well, the best way is to get the trace elements there and use organic techniques for the microbes. There are 79 elements in the human body. Most of our ag universities say we can grow a crop on 16 elements. So what's happened over the last 15 years is these trace or micronutrients have been used up. There's only a few parts per million, a few parts per billion in the soil. They get used up and they never put back. So they're not in our food supply and our food's not as healthy as it could be.
So that's, I guess, where Nature's Way Remineralizer comes in. You said that magic number of 79. Tell me about this product. To me, it sounds like a great thing I need to start using in my garden a lot more.
Yes, I use it on everything. We introduced it about 4 years ago and the state chemist made it take off the market, said it needed to be classified as a fertilizer. There's so much stuff in it. But it's basically a mixture of green sand, granite sand, and basalt sand. And between them, they got all 84 naturally occurring elements, including the 79 elements that are in the human body.
Well, that's such cool stuff. And I am excited about thinking of getting more nutrition out of my food. And that way, I can eat a little bit less of it. John Ferguson, website is naturewayresources.com. I really appreciate the call, John.
All right, Danny. You have a great day, my friend.
Saying that, John, making great great, great soils. So good work. 281-496-5711. Joey Linderman is here with me talking gardening. So thanks for scratching my annual plants itch. I know that it's kind of like not the hot topic right now, but a lot of our kind of classic old school as far as 2 months ago gardeners, they do a lot of annual plant planting. So good for them. This, to me, Joe and I were talking about kind of this reality that if you are a gardener and you've been gardening for a while, there's really a chance that probably two of your neighbors have started gardening.
And they might be new at it, you know?
Yeah, and it's tough because there's a lot of bits of advice, and you can't just go anywhere to buy stuff, to get advice, to get things, to shop. And that's where a lot of people struggle. And so, you know, if you're an avid gardener and you've noticed some new gardeners out there, tell them about the show. You know, tell them that there's this place that actually wants to help you be a better gardener, want to help you improve your gardening skill, and is providing like experts actually to do it. Not just products, but like actual detailed advice. So just, you know, Home Show Garden Pros, that's all you got to know. There's a website, it's the same name. There's a Facebook page, same name. So anyway, that's my encouragement to you out there, is that we're here to help, and we're here to help you at your level and also your neighbors at their much lower level. So sorry if you're the neighbor already listening. You're doing great. Keep it up. Good job. We just want to say these three things. Don't overwater. Mulch is very, very important, and start with good soil.
No. All great points.
Okay, so cool plants. And I'm not talking about weather. I'm talking about, hey, that's pretty sweet. You know, what's that plant, bro? And we're kind of doing a fun thing on Facebook where we're doing a name that plant thing. And we're kind of lifting up some cool plants. But what are some of your, like, just favorites? Is it just like Joey Linderman getting to tell me what the plants he loves to grow? I tend almost indubitably to lean towards plants that serve a second or third purpose, you know, pollinator, food, native, you know, host plant. You know, that's my lean always. But what are some of your favorite plants?
Some of my favorite plants also have a purpose. It's making people happy.
Ooh, see, that's nice. So that's the one, primary purpose.
Yes, one that makes me happy every time I walk in my backyard this time of year is the volcano bush.
Yes.
It's a semi-evergreen shrub, depending on how cold it gets in the wintertime. But both in the spring and in the fall, they'll have these beautiful purple flowers just covered. They'll get maybe 7 feet tall or so, and just a great, great shrub.
You know, right. Little bitty pink flowers, but what, like a billion of them?
At least a billion. Yeah. I ran out of time to count, but I'm pretty sure it's close.
Yeah. You're like 900,000,021. You know what? I'm going to stop.
Yeah, and then you get a phone call, and I lost count.
Oh, great. Yeah,
let me start over.
Right. But no, covered with plants. And they're very shapeable, too.
Yeah.
It's a shapeable plant. So it's the kind of thing that you can keep it pretty, like, tight if you want to. How big do they get if you don't keep it tight?
I think the ones in my yard are probably 7 feet tall. That's the only plant that I have more than one of pretty much in my backyard.
Oh, wow. Look at that. That is right there. High praise. It's okay, we need to get another one of these. You know, folks, you're the person who had to buy it, but you were telling yourself, okay, Joey, get another one of these plants. Yeah, I have one in the my front bed, and big fan of it. I'm thinking about taking out a Himalaya because I have to keep them both smaller, and if I'm gonna choose one or the other, bees love both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I want to push my hummingbirds to the back, where I've got a couple hummingbird-focused things back there. So anyway, okay, so volcano bush.
What's one of your favorites?
This is also one of those, like, it's happening right now, and I'm reminded of how much I love it. For the next few months, I will really be praising. And it is just pomegranate trees, you know. If you can grow them as a single trunk or a shrub or a multi-trunk, hummingbirds love them. So it's like one of the underrated hummingbird plants. And then if you buy a good variety, like a cashmere blend or garnet sash or cloud, you get awesome pomegranates, which are very good for you and delicious. And so it's like, it's got this kind of russet redness when it blooms out. So you get spring color a little bit. You get some fall color from it. The very unique, very beautiful, many, many flowers, and then you get fruit. So literally on Thursday, I had battling bamboo in a park nearby, and I'd come home and just sat down, and then two hummingbirds were just harvesting on my pomegranate tree, and I was like, oh, man, this is nice. You know, just watching them do their thing, chasing each other off, you know, it was great. So that's mine. And again, there is one variety called Wonderful. It's terrible. Don't get it. Get something that's got a little more weird sound, like Garnet Sash or something like that. If you want specific questions on pomegranate varieties, you know, hit me up on Facebook. We can talk about it there. So you want to say one more?
I will say one more.
Yeah.
How about Desert Rose? Mm. If you're looking for something in a pot on the patio by the pool, Desert Rose are really cool. They have a it's hard to explain, but it's almost like a bonsai tree with rose-type blooms.
Right, yeah. Really interesting looking. The whole thing is very interesting.
Yeah, there's grafted ones that are doubles and, you know, come in all sorts of colors. Take the heat really good, low maintenance, right. Low water requirements.
The only kicker is a well-drained soil, right? Yep. And that's pretty much all potted plants. But that's a really great one for a patio, poolside, raised situation.
Yeah, and they're a conversation piece because they're not that common.
Right.
You know, but they're really cool.
Yeah, go ahead and, like, Google search those because they're like, whoa, that's crazy. So
Desert
you guys,
Rose.
You guys carry those?
Yeah, we've got a lot of the grafted ones that came from Thailand.
Awesome.
And they're, yeah, they're beautiful.
Man, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, a lot of desert in Thailand. I'm making a wait, what face? But Thailand's a major plant horticulture country, kind of like parts of Brazil are. So pretty cool. That's awesome. 281-496-5711. We'd love to hear what's on your mind. What are you battling with? We know you're growing veggies. We know you're dealing with your lawn. We want to hear about it. 281-496-5711. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Get growing at Warren Southern Gardens. Whether you're a garden newbie or ninja, Warren's helps you succeed without ever making you feel stupid. From seed and soil to plants and products, Dean and Bernice and the whole crew at Warren's gets you growing because their roots run deep. Come wander Warren's Pathways, where it's always safe to set your inner gardener free. Warren Southern Gardens, 1675 North Park Drive, Kingwood. Online at warrensoutherngardens.com.
Now back to answering your gardening questions with the Home Show Garden Pros.
Home Show Garden Pros, Joey Linderman here with me. I'm Danny Milliken, and we're talking gardening. So we've kind of mostly covered flowers so far. We're going to kind of get away from that in a segment that I call I haven't named it yet. I'll come up with a name during it. But basically, the title of it is long because you got all these new gardeners that are really getting after it, really doing good stuff, but they're choosing vegetables, right? And this spring, you know, it's like this time it's, you know, tomatoes, squashes, peppers, not exactly beginner level plants. Peppers are probably easiest in there, but they're also doing like roses. A lot of people are doing azaleas for the first time. So this is why the title is too long, because it's hard to grow plants that are very popular. You know what I mean? So it's like too long of a title. So maybe I should make an acronym. So, I just want to give a few tips on really like how to care for some of these hard to grow plants. You know, what's maybe a kind of life hack for each of them that lets people break through, you know, like roses. Do not water the leaves on roses. You have to water the roots only, or you'll get black spot on your leaves. That's, you know, so if you're growing roses and the first time, only water the soil. Don't water the leaves. There's more for roses, but what are some of your kind of life hacks for those, you know, late spring veggies? And
that's a good point on the roses. And a lot of plants are like that. So, you know, you water the foliage of your vegetable plants. You know, bugs need water, so they're going to go on the foliage to get water. Yeah, and then they say, hey, look, there's a tomato.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Let me take a bite of that.
That seems good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So watering even your vegetable plants from the bottom is also a good one.
Yeah, definitely. Especially like, the only plant that I know of that really gives a ton of benefit from the leaves being sprayed is Italian cypress, and it's to knock the dust off because the mites that attack Italian cypress like dust buildup. And so that's the only one, frankly, that's like, yeah, you need to water the leaves pretty often. Mm-hmm. So we're not a real dusty town, you know. But that's – so that's the one. So, okay, so that's the don't water the leaves. That's really good. That's a good pro tip.
Another good thing to do is space your plants out. Give them some space.
Yeah.
You know, that way they have good air circulation. That way there's not places for critters to hide. Even, you know, not only vegetable plants. I know you want to pack your – you know, I want to grow this, and this. You know, but you only have a small area. It's really going to be better long term to, you know, give those plants proper spacing, and that'll give you a whole lot more production. It's just you're not going to be as successful if you cram things together.
Yep, that's very true. And I actually have a problem doing that, you know, because I want to maximize my space. I don't want to show any soil surface, so I have a tendency to really pack them together, and then they get huge. You know, I mean, tomatoes are a great example. You literally need 4 square feet for tomatoes. That's a lot, you know? That's a lot of space. So proper spacing, excellent. No water on leaf. I'm writing it down, so that's why I'm saying it like this in this tone. So, okay, we're doing a segment, hard-to-grow popular plants that are not exactly beginner-level plants, but they're the most famous plants. So roses also get small insects on them. And so, to me, like molasses, like spraying molasses on a regular basis is this really great thing to do with roses to just protect against chili thrips and spider mites and a few of the other little rascals that get on there. So I don't know if you have something like – I mean, that's not really that great of one, but that's, you know, maybe one embiggen – that's a Simpsons word, but embiggen that idea, like how do we protect them from their pests?
You know, don't let your plants get stressed out. If they go from wet to dry to wet to dry too often, it stresses the plant out, and that's when they're more vulnerable for insects and diseases.
That was a great embiggen, because I was like, but then I wrote pests love stressed plants. Just a reality that if you're doing stuff like overwatering or not mulching, that your plant is going to be a lot more stressed out than it would be if you had just taken those easy steps.
That's right. And also, you know, picking the right plant for the right spot.
Yeah.
You might find this beautiful plant and you love it and you've never seen it before, and you go and plant it in your yard and it does terrible. Well, you need to make sure the sun requirements are right. If you take a shade plant and put it in the sun, then you're set up for failure. So always make sure you're, you know, choosing the right plant for the right spot.
I like that. And that kind of leads me directly into another one. And that is that, you know, when it comes down to it, the information that might be on the internet or even on a plant label, it's not really information for Houston, for our soils or setting. And so it's really important to have reliable experts, reliable sources of information. You know what I mean? That's another.
I do know what you mean.
Yeah. That's a really great stuff, really great thoughts. We're going to keep going on that because I want to get some specific kind of like gardenias. That's a popular plant, roses. So 281-496-5711. Russell, we acknowledge that you've got a question and want to get that question in without waiting too long. So you're on Home Show Garden Pros.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, you just mentioned pomegranates. I got a lot of pomegranate trees, but my problem I have with pomegranates is I always get sunburn or something. How do I prevent that? They get like hard as a rock on like part of it on the shells, and I really never know when to pick these things either.
Yeah, you know, sunburn is a problem for sure, and it's hard to block the sun. But if your space allows, you could always plant some sort of either another fruit tree or some sort of ornamental tree, you know, near it to shade it, you know, kind of calculate that and plant something, you know, 10, 15 feet away from it. That'll eventually give it a little bit of shade. That is probably going to be one of your better options.
So it is truly sunburn.
It possibly is, especially if you notice it on the west side.
Yeah. Okay. And then you mentioned about annuals, about a bunch of annuals from y'all, snapdragons, just all the whole tray of annuals over there. Are these snapdragons, the anthers, and phlox, are they all going to burn up?
Yeah, so those are cool weather plants that are going to start going downhill in the next, you know, 3 or 4 weeks probably. So you need to start planning on, you know, what you're going to do next. But let them run their course. And
yeah, they look good right now.
Yeah, this is, you know, the best time of year for those. They ought to be, you know, full of blooms and looking good. So, yeah, enjoy them. And then, you know, in a few weeks, you know, time for something more heat tolerant.
Okay, one last question. Armadillo, how do you any approach to this armadillo that I have tearing up my yard?
Yeah, they're kind of a nuisance. So there are several things. You know, they are probably after grubs, I'm guessing.
I'm sure.
There's a several repellents that work. There's an armadillo scram. You can try the natural garlic spray. You can try, you can go to Costco or somewhere and buy the big thing of cayenne pepper. Sometimes that works. You might have to, you know, try several things before you figure it out.
Can I catch this thing? Well, I mean, like, put them in a cage and take them to my other property or something?
Yeah, you can get a little live animal trap.
Yeah, put a bunch of grubs in there, you know.
Grub?
I mean, right. they don't love that many foods that we know about. They like shade, they like dark places, and they love decomposers, so grubs, the big wood borer type things. I do know that grubs like to live in a looser soil, so if you've got a problem where your loose soil is all at the very tip top of your lawn or garden, then you're going to see a lot more armadillo damage. So humic acid, ironically, is kind of a success story with armadillos because it deepens the roots. So the grubs that are in the space go lower, and so you get less damage from them. So that's one thing that's kind of proving.
We planted stuff. That's why. I mean, it's all seeded stuff, and it just keeps on tearing up underneath my raised bed.
Again, they're I would apply humates is one thing humates. I would do. It's going to be good for your soil anyway.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, and so it will open up the range of depth for the grubs, and so you will not have as much damage because the grubs won't all be in smell range for the little snurfler.
That makes sense. Okay, I appreciate my show as usual.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Russell. Yeah, armadillos are one of the tough ones because they do, you know, they will rip up some stuff. It's a couple Texas legends surrounding famous marriages that ended because of armadillo. So good stuff. 281-496-5711. We are Home Show Garden Pros.
Mike Ball knows irrigation.
Over 30 years.
He looks at yards, sees issues like underwatering,
dead zones, yellowing, sick trees,
overwatering,
brown patch, weeds, root rot.
Find the healthy balance with Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping and Lighting.
Hi, it's Mike. We design and install water-conserving irrigation systems, reducing water waste by 30%, delivering healthier yards and gardens.
Invite Mike Ball Irrigation to review your system.
It's easy, and you'll love the difference.
MikeBallIrrigation.com.
Now, back to answering your gardening questions with the Home Show Garden Pros.
Good morning. This is Sherry Hara from Plants for All Seasons. We are at the nursery and open doing business. We've implemented curbside pickup for your convenience. But you're more than welcome to do shopping at your leisure. This weather is beautiful and spring is in full force. We are totally loaded on everything you need, from herbs, vegetables, flowers. You want to spruce up your pot or make your yard greener. Compost tea is fresh and ready on the weekends. Our brewmasters have mastered the recipe. You can bring your own bucket or purchase one of our 2-gallon buckets and fill it up. Nothing makes your yard greener than a nice dose of compost tea. Quench its thirst. Our address is 21328 State Highway 249, just north of Louetta on the northbound feeder. Check out Plants for All Seasons on our Facebook page and at plantsforallseasons.com. And now back to Joey and Danny.
281-496-5711. Joey Linderman here, answering your gardening questions. And Bobby, you're on Home Show Garden Pros. What's your question for Joey?
Good morning. I've got some 1-gallon yew plants that I just bought, and I'm going to put them, try to make a wall out of them as for a visual break on the side of a house to cover up some air conditioning units. And I'm just wondering, how close should they be planted next to each other?
It all depends on how full you want it to look right away. You know, yews grow mostly upright. So it all depends on your timeline. But 1 gallon yews to screen an AC, you know, I'd say a couple of feet apart.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for is the height. And once they get to 4 or 5 feet, we'll probably keep them trimmed.
Right, right. Yeah, so two feet for a 1 gallon, 2 to 3 even. Like I said, it just depends on how full you want it right away.
Okay. All right, good information. Appreciate it.
All right, no problem.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Bobby. Yeah, you are, not you, sorry. Joey, don't mean to. Podocarpus or Japanese yew are, to me, one of like the plants that are emerging as just a proven area, like success plant.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, just like steady green, interesting berries, bird food, can be shaped almost any size. I've seen them like squares. I've seen them rocket ships. I've seen them kind of wild and wispy, which is cool.
I once trimmed one into a giraffe.
See? You could trim into giraffes, which is great because they do have a upright. Smart. I like that. So, yeah, I mean, that's a great choice. And not all of the berry is edible. There's a two-part berry, you know, podocarpus foot fruit. So the toe, the green part is not edible, but the other part's really gelatinous and kind of funny. So anyway, it's a funny thing about them. But, yeah, they make a berry, so kind of cool too. But thanks, Bobby. Good question. It is probably, if you're doing a medium-sized privacy barrier, it to me is probably number one. That or like Nellie Stevens holly, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, and what's good about them, if you have a narrow area that you're trying to make a screen in, they grow mostly upright, so they don't take up your whole yard.
Yeah.
You know, getting wide, they right. give you what you need. They give you the height.
And still can maintain lower foliage, which a lot of like other shrubs can't do that.
Yeah, they don't get leggy at the bottom like some other plants.
Well, announcing kind of a fun thing that's happening. We did a name that plant thing, and we're going to do another one. So right after the show today, I'm going to post a picture of a plant, and we're going to see if you can get it. I'm going to review on Monday and see who got it. Correct guesses. So we did a plant, and man, we got a lot of people knew what it was. The plant was the tractor seat plant. It used to be called Ligularia, and now it's called Farfugium gigantea. Tractor seat leopard plant. You know what I'm talking about.
Really cool
plant.
Do.
In fact, yep. We you guys had those. Oh, sorry, no, that was Enchanted Forest. Are you mad that I did that mix up?
No, I'm not.
But
mad.
They had the plant and they were flowering. There's all these butterflies all over it, and I had no idea what they were. I looked them up, but I don't remember. So anyway, I got a long list of people who guessed correctly. I promise we'll do a harder plant next time.
Uh oh, the pressure's
you know
on.
We should do like a prize. For the people who get it, I'll call MicroLife. I'll call Mike and see if he can do something.
Okay. I bet he can.
So here's the people who got it right. So I'm just going to race through these because there's a lot of y'all. Patsy Goolsby, Brenda Courtney Smith, Sally Steele, Margie Vega, Deborah Kerbeau, V. Collins, Candy Shepherd, Elsa Villarreal, Linda Beeman, Diane Deaton, John Nanez, Olga Garcia, Betty Green, Catherine Edwards, Laura Neff Kopecki, Estella Rodriguez, Elizabeth Solis, and Linda Payne. So great job, you guys. You nailed it. Most of y'all said tractor seed plant, which is it's like the antique tractor, that kind of circular plant. The close but no cigar, these people didn't quite get it, but we're giving you a shout out anyway. Patricia Tate, James Balliette. Marilyn Parks and David Williams, nice job being so close there. But yeah, so fun thing. So I'm gonna you know text Mike real quick during the break and see if we can get something going. And we're gonna have a plant and we're gonna unleash that picture in like 15 minutes. So get ready to guess. Name that plant. Home Show Garden Pros. Joey Lindeman here. A couple more segments. We're gonna keep answering your gardening questions. Keep digging into great gardening advice. You're gonna keep going with this hard to grow plants that are very popular. Not good for beginners, but great plants to have anyway segment. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
One of our customers recently brought in a handful of weed that was taking over his lawn. Hi, friends. Bob Patterson of Southwest Fertilizer. I quickly recognized it as Virginia buttonweed and provided him with a couple of products and the advice to help him out. At Southwest Fertilizer, we're devoted to providing service, quality, and selection for solving your lawn and garden challenges. Come visit us. You'll find seeds, plants, tools, soils, and solutions to fit every budget. Southwest Fertilizer, 5828 Bissonnette at Renwick, or find us online at southwestfertilizer.com.
You can be a better gardener. The Home Show Garden Pros can help with advice you can trust and the tools our co-op members recommend.
Monterey Lawn and Garden. For a beautiful organic lawn, use Monterey Lawn and Garden products. Southwest Fertilizer. Quality lawn and garden supplies since 1955. MicroLife, all organic biological fertilizers. Healthy soils, healthy plants, healthy people.
Call the Home Show Garden Pros now, 281-496-5711.
Thanks, nice man. He's such a great, kind of, what a great voice that guy has. You know, like,
he should be on the radio.
He really should be. He's handsome, too, is a problem, you know. So, 281-496-5711. Love to hear from you. What's on your mind? So we're talking through some popular plants that aren't really beginner-level plants. I think we're going to name the season yes, but no. Okay, so gardenias, right? Gardenias, you know, I've seen gardenias on people's shirts. Like, they're a popular plant. They smell so good. So it's like you're familiar with the smell, so you're like, oh, maybe I'll just get a gardenia or two. But they're not that easy to care for. So what are some gardenia care tips that you got for us?
Yeah, they're kind of finicky until you get it figured out, but they are kind of like azaleas. They like a more acidic soil.
Okay.
So mixing some sort of acidified compost or maybe the MicroLife acidifier with your soil before planting and kind of maintaining it with one of those two things. You can mulch with the acidified compost or apply the MicroLife acidifier, you know, a couple of times a year.
Okay.
That would help. The perfect spot, in my opinion, for a gardenia would be morning sun, afternoon shade.
Okay.
You know, this time of year, that, you know, full sun's not a problem, but in July and August, it could be a problem.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's really, I mean, this is a plant that I've struggled with because I was like, well, it's like they want really well draining soil and some shade maybe, but it's like it didn't really work out, but they do like the sun. But they also don't like the brutal sun. And to get flowers on them a lot, you want to really fertilize them quite a bit. So that's great. So acidic soil and then morning sun are two kind of real open the gate up for gardenias.
Yeah, those are the two top things.
Okay, awesome. See, that's great. Those are like, you know, easy to make the mistake, put on the west side, might go totally toast. That's awesome. So Home Show Garden Pros, Joey Linderman. Want to just keep answering gardening questions when we got a chance. So 281-496-5711. Maureen, you're on Home Show Garden Pros.
Hey, I'm changing plant style. I would like to plant some gardenias, gladiolas, pardon me. And I haven't planted them in quite a few years. So I only have a few areas available, and they'll be near other plants, such as bottle brush. And but the area is a very sunny area, so I wondered if that was going to present a problem.
They, you know, you might see them suffer a little bit during the heat of the summer in July and August, but the rest of the year they'll be fine. So I think if you plant them, you know, at the right time of year and they get established before the heat comes around, you'll be okay.
Okay, I had the bulbs in hand, so I was going to do it today. I thought that they. When do they bloom? Maybe I've missed the time to put them in the ground. Maybe that's a question.
That is a question. Yes, they probably have already bloomed.
Yeah, I think probably you missed that window by a couple months. They really like the bulb to get chilled. And so maybe a hack would be putting them in the freezer for a day. Not the fridge, the freezer, because you plant them before the last frost. So a lot of times you plant them. You want the plant pushing up. In February.
Oh, all right. Well, I got the bulbs, so into the freezer they go.
Yeah, well, don't store them in the freezer. Just
No. Okay. Just for how many hours? You tell me that. Overnight?
Yeah, I do it overnight. I still don't know that you're going to see blooms. this year.
Well, so, can you store these in the garage?
You want to store them. You want to store them in a cool, dry space. So maybe like wrap them in some paper towels, put them in a box, and keep them in air conditioning.
Tell you what, I'm going to do 50-50.
Yes, that's right. I was going to suggest that exact thing. That's awesome. Yeah.
Love your show.
Okay, thanks,
okay.
Maureen.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Gladiolus are gorgeous.
Yes, they are.
Sword lilies is another name for them, which is so cool. So, okay, Steve, you are on Home Show Garden Pros.
Oh, hello. Thanks for taking my call. So I have a lemon tree, and when the fruit starts to bud, when, you know, it's real tiny, small, every year I seem to lose a lot of them. It's like something's eating them, or do you think they're just falling off? Something's eating them. Do you recommend spraying it with anything?
Hard to tell without seeing it. I doubt anything's eating them. You know, there are little insects that could get in there and kind of distort the bloom and bud that could cause them to fall off. Also, make sure you're not overwatering. Sometimes the fruit will drop off if you give them too much water. Is that possible?
I don't think I'm watering them that much. Well, I know I'm not watering them that much, but yeah. Every year, it seems like I lose about 50% of them, and I was thinking maybe the birds or something.
No, Steve, I think that blooms dropping is very normal because the plant is not expecting to have all of its flowers pollinated, but it wants to get the pollen out there.
Yeah, you're going to lose a certain amount. So, you know, if you're still getting a pretty good yield off the tree, then it's probably normal.
Are you getting are you getting citrus still? Are you getting lemons?
Yes, I am. Yeah, there's quite a few of them. I was just wondering why come some are falling off. But.
Yeah, it's just kind of a natural phenomenon. It's like, you know, they present them out there so the bees will pollinate some of them, but not all of them. So flower drop is not a...
gotcha.
Yeah, you're doing great.
And I have one other question. I have a lime tree that's in a large pot. Will it continue to grow in that pot, or do I need to transplant it to the ground eventually?
How large?
It's probably 4 feet tall right now.
Oh, no, I'm in the pot.
Oh, the pot, it's probably a 60-gallon.
Okay, so 2 feet, 3 feet wide.
Yeah.
It can stay in that for quite a while, if not forever.
Yes, it'll continue to grow and produce. You just want to make sure that you are continuing to feed that because a lot of the nutrition you add to a pot gets used quicker or needs to be replenished more quickly.
Great. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Want to do a quick notice. So Home Show Garden Pros and OBA have teamed up to do some webinars, and we've got our next one coming up on Thursday. And so Vicky Velarde is a organic farmer and also the kind of president and executive director of Anume, which is a really cool farming organization that donates food. And so a really cool deal. Actually, Joey and Danny have graciously sponsored the webinar, but it'll be Thursday at 5:00. You can either go to Home Show's website, Facebook page, Home Show Garden Pros, or OBA's Facebook page to sign up for it and learn the details about how to get in there. Going to be a lot of fun. She is really a great presenter. Super excited to have her. And we'll just be talking about growing for good. So kind of go ahead, Joey.
And to clarify, OBA is spelled
OHBA, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
The Organic Horticulture Benefits Alliance. But growing for good is kind of like what Joey was talking about right when he got on here, the hashtag milkweed movement, and how that, you know, you can really kind of grow stuff and make a positive impact on senior citizens' homes, food banks, all kinds of stuff. So Vicky will really be diving into that, tell a little bit of her story and how she can help you out. So again, that's a webinar, so it'll be online. You can socially distance, and it'll be a lot of great information. All right, we got one more segment with Joey, and then Home Show Radio starts after that. This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
You need Monterey Consen 20 because there's so many ways to use it. Hi, Tom Tynan here. Consen 20 is a great disinfectant for all hard surfaces and is biodegradable. You know, I also use it for algae control on sidewalks and patios. It's also a powerful fungicide for disease control on trees, shrubs, lawns, and a deodorizer for storm and flood reclamation. Pick up Monterey Consen 20 at your favorite garden center. For a beautiful lawn, use Monterey Lawn and Garden Products.
Are you ready to get back in the garden? Hi, it's Anita.
Get away by getting into your garden. Nelson's Nursery and Katie can help. Annuals and perennials, veggies and herbs, plus all you'll need to help them grow.
And be sure to check out our colorful and beautiful fountains.
Exotic disappearing water fountains in all shapes and sizes, and exotic fish for backyard ponds, plus one-of-a-kind pots direct imported by Nelson's. Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens in Katy. You can find them at nelsonwatergardens.com.
Now, back to answering your gardening questions with the Home Show Garden Pros.
Welcome back, Home Show Garden Pros. So often we bring up the company MicroLife because they're just doing a phenomenal job. This is kind of a ad/public service announcement, but in this kind of time where it looks like businesses are reopening, it is so key, in my opinion, to spend your money first on local companies. So that's who we want to support. That's who's actually going to give back to our economy, local restaurants, local businesses, local producers. MicroLife is one of those local producers. They actually make their fertilizer here in the area, which is absolutely phenomenal. The owners, the investors all live here. So really amazing. And in addition to being local, and in addition to being totally safe and organic, it actually works really, really well. So if you're trying to get the most blooms for your buck, maximum blooms, liquid fertilizer, incredible. You're trying to get the most veggies production you can. Their MicroLife Vegetables and Flowers 846, really incredible for getting just phenomenal vegetable results. They have their 624, which I do have approval from Mike, the winners of the next. Maybe it's going to be the first couple winners of the next correct guess will get a 7-pound jug of 624. So that's pretty awesome. 624 is multi-purpose. I use it in veggie beds. I use it around fruit trees. I use it if I have a bad patch of my lawn I need help with. I use it in my compost tea. I use it everywhere that you can possibly imagine. It's really great for that. So it will not – it cannot burn your plants. So you can use it in the heat of the summer, the chill of the winter, anytime, and it's safe to use around you, your kids, and your family. So for healthy soils, healthy plants, and healthy people, look for MicroLife at your favorite Home Show Garden Pro locations or check out their website, microlifefertilizer.com. And we're kind of running out of time here a little bit. So we're going to ask Joey one last question about peppers. Joey, I'm trying to get middle heat peppers. I have a wife and one daughter who don't like hot, hot foods. I do, but I want some heat in my food. So what are some peppers that are kind of middle road?
There's Hatch peppers, Hatch green chilies. Those are kind of a medium one. There's Fresno peppers. Those are good. There's the mild jalapenos, the Texas A&M mild jalapenos. That's a mild one. You know, taking out the seeds before you cook them, that's sometimes helpful. Something like a habanero, which is really hot, if you use all the seeds, you take the seeds out, it's not so bad.
Right. Gotcha.
So okay. The seeds are the painful part.
Make sure I take the seeds out and then wash your hands a lot.
Yes.
Is another great thing to do. So just so you guys know, we're about to post our Name That Plant on Facebook, so get ready for that. We got some salt in the game now. There's actually a prize for the correct person, the person who gets it first, and maybe we'll be a little generous. We'll see. So check out our Facebook page. Big thanks to Enchanted Gardens, Enchanted Forest, and Joey Linderman for being here today. Awesome. Home Show Radio is after this break.
You could spend your whole weekend slogging through that to-do list of chores at home. Or you could go from to-do to done like a boss. Get the help it takes from Houston's go-to guy for the sport of home improvements, Tom Tynan on Home Show Radio.
I listen to your show forever. God bless.
Coming up next after the Home Show Garden Pros.
And anytime you want.
And homeshowradio.com. Pros you can trust. Tips, advice, videos, and the Home Show podcast. Always on.
Always free.
Homeshowradio.com.
Stay tuned. Home Show Radio will return shortly.